Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the AMED Effect. I'm your host, Will Cunningham. If you are new here, first of all, I'd like to say thanks for joining us. We can't wait for you all to hear all of this amazing content that we have for you all. So make sure that you all do a few things for me. One, go like the podcast so you can stay up to date on all of the release dates. If you missed episode 3 with Chaplain Schultz, make sure you go back and you check that out. Leave a comment and let us know how we're doing, and maybe we can answer a question or a comment in our next episode if there's something that you would like to talk about. And then last but not least, share the show with someone who you know or someone who may find the information within this podcast useful. Today on the AMED Effect podcast, we have Colonel LaTanya R. Walker, Deputy Commanding Officer and Chief Nurse at the Medical Recruiting Brigade at Fort Knox, Kentucky. Good morning, Colonel Walker. How has your day been going so far?
Good morning. The day has started out like any other day. Interesting. but before we get started, I second welcome to the AMED Effect.
Thank you. Thank you.
Go listen to the podcast with Chaplain Schultz. That is my chaplain. I wholeheartedly support chaplains because as the medical and recruiting chaplain brigade, not only do we save lives, but we save souls. So absolutely go listen to that podcast. I think Chaplain Schultz is amazing, but my day has started out like any other day. That's what we do. But I typically say that I woke up this morning, so anything that happens after that, it's just extra.
Well, that's good. Good. Glad to have you here. And thank you for giving us the time to come on the show and talk about your career. So today we want to talk about your job as the deputy commander and also your extensive career in nursing. But before we get started into that, I was told that here at the brigade, they call you Mama Walker. Can you give us the reason on why they call you Mama Walker?
I can. So I will tell you that I know a lot of people would typically be offended at being called mama. Mm-hmm. I like to tell people I look like I'm 12 because in October of this year, I will have been in the military 40 years.
Okay.
So I was prior service, enlisted, reserve, enlisted active duty, and now an officer in the Army Nurse Corps, which I think is the best corps. So as you can tell, I wholeheartedly support the Army as a whole. I am second generation Army.
Okay.
My son was in the Army as well, so third generation. So I am all about being all that you can be. So, but I got here and they instantly started calling me Mama Walker. And this is not the first time I have been called Mama Walker. So historically, at every assignment, I have either been called Mama or Auntie. And I guess it is my nature or the nurturing effect that I have.
Uh-huh.
I have a lot of mentees that go beyond just the assignment. They tend to follow me. So that is why I often get that moniker. Mentoring is not just a temporary thing for me. My mentoring comes with, it's a lifestyle, it's a choice. I mentor with real life. I will woo-woo you, but I'm going to woo-woo you with some love. It may be tough love, but it's going to be cemented with the right way to grow you and groom you in the Army to hopefully help you be successful.
Now, let's go ahead and give Colonel Walker a round of applause for 40 years of service with the U.S. Army. Now, good to hear 40 years of service with the U.S. Army. That's great. Congratulations on all of the service and everything that you have done done for, you know, the Army, civilians, the soldiers, so on and so forth. So I'd like to say congratulations on that. Could you give the listeners and viewers a brief description on your background, you know, whether it was in enlisted, reserves, and in the role that you currently play today?
So I started out in enlisted reserve back in 1984. I joined the Army because my best friend in high school came and said she wanted to join the Army, and they had the thing called the Buddy Program.
I remember that.
And we went to see a recruiter. He gave us pizza, and back then I was a 75 Delta. They no longer have it. It was a records specialist. I believe they're 42 Alphas now. Went to basic training, delayed entry program at Fort Jackson, South Carolina, Tank Hill, and did that for the summer. Came back, was in reserves for about a year and a half, and after going through basic training, came back in what was the best shape of my life, but felt like I wanted to do more. Went back to a recruiter and said I wanted to go on active duty and had a specific location that I wanted to go to. I wanted to go to Germany because my aunt at the time was stationed in Germany. And a month later, I was in Stuttgart, Germany, 198th PSB. Was in Germany for 2 years and then went to Fort Lee, Virginia, and was there for 2 years. My aunt unexpectedly passed away, and I decided that I wanted to come back home in 1990, and I was going to get out of the military. But my mother, in her infinite wisdom, advised me to stay in the reserves. And so that's what I did. I went back to my reserve unit. And so over the course of time being in my reserve unit, when I got out, I was a single parent, and I found myself pregnant again. And after I had my second son, I realized that there was something else that I needed to be doing. Mm-hmm. I, not wanting to offend anyone, but the best friend that got me into the Army also asked me to go to church with her. And I went to church, three different sermons, three different pastors said that I was making excuses. Mm-hmm. The last time the church was holding a college fair, and at the college fair, I ended up going to Spalding University.
Okay.
And I told the Lord when I was trying to decide between being a social worker and applying to the nursing program, whichever program I got into, that's what I was supposed to do. But I picked those two because I like people and I wanted to help people. Mm-hmm. And I got accepted into the nursing program. Now, mind you, I had been out of school for 10 years. So going back to school after being out for 10 years was like a shock to my system. And at the time, I was a corrections officer.
Okay.
And I will tell you that Spalding University, those, I knew it was the right place. Mm-hmm. Because I worked 40 hours over the course of 3 days while in the nursing program. But I graduated with my BSN after 4.5 years because nursing was actually the place that I was supposed to be. I ended up an Army nurse because, like I said, I was a single parent.
Uh-huh.
And being a single parent, needing to take care of my children, but also knowing that the Army was also a passion, I was led, initially I was told about ROTC, what I call ROTC, and having been still in the reserves, I was E6. Having gone to, for those don't want to date myself, but I did PLDC. Mm-hmm. I had done BNOC, and I was on my way to the advanced schooling to get my E7. The guy said, we can't do anything for you at ROTC. And he told me to talk to an AMED recruiter.
Okay.
When I went to see the AMED recruiter, he helped me put my packet together and told me once I passed my boards, they would submit my packet. Passed my boards, and lo and behold, 2000 to 24, here I stand.
Working in the nursing field.
Working in the nursing field.
So that's a nice journey through your career, through being active, being in the reserves, or being enlisted, being in the reserves, up to everything that you do now. So as I was reading your bio, I did read that you went to Spalding University, which is in Louisville, Kentucky. Are you originally from Louisville, Kentucky, or did your family come here for another for other reasons, whether that is working with UPS, UPS or any other, or Ford or any other companies in Louisville?
So my mother, my maternal family is from Louisville, Kentucky.
Okay.
I was born in Germany because my father was in the military. So I was born in Germany. When my parents got divorced, we initially, me and my mom, moved to Cleveland, Ohio.
Okay.
My grandfather passed away, and my mother decided that she wanted to move back home. And so we, me and my mother and my brothers and sisters, moved to Louisville. So I graduated high school in Louisville, Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
So I consider it full circle, or as I said at my promotion ceremony, God gives you what you need, even though you didn't know you needed it. I started my career in Louisville as a private, and I'm ending my career at home in Louisville as a colonel. So I have come full circle. I am a 66 hotel med-surg nurse, but my specialty, I like to say, is oncology. And again, it goes back to God gives you what you need, even though you didn't know you needed it. Because initially, when I thought I was going to stay in the reserves and stay a civilian nurse, I wanted to be an oncology or a hospice nurse.
Mm-hmm.
But every place that I applied to, they wouldn't hire me because they said I had no experience. And finally, I told one of them, well, if nobody hires me, how am I going to get experience?
Good question.
My first assignment in the Army was at the original Walter Reed, Washington, D.C., Georgia Avenue, the Legacy. And when I got there, they said, you're assigned to Ward 71, Hem-Onc. I said, well, what's a Hem-Onc? And they said, hematology, oncology. And the only thing I could say at the time was, okay, I get it, Lord. So if you remember, I said when I was putting in my applications to be a social worker and a nurse, I left it up to the Lord to decide mm-hmm. which program I was going to get accepted to. I never heard back about my social work application. I did hear back about nursing school. I wanted to be an oncology nurse. My first assignment was on an oncology ward.
Now, you went to Walter Reed, and this is one of your first assignments when you crossed over and became crossed over into AMED.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about how working there prepared you for your path and your career in nursing.
So right now, the Army Nurse Corps, they do a fantastic job with preparing new novice nurses for the field, the world of nursing. We have this thing called CNTP, where they transition new nurses. They give them 12 weeks of experience. They let them rotate through different areas to help them prepare. Back then, we did what was preceptorship. It was 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to teach you how to be a nurse. You're going to get it. You're going to get on the floor. Let's go. My first preceptor, her name, she's still in, Colonel Tamika Bowser. She said on the first day, I am super nurse number two. My preceptor was Lisa Mitchell. She's super nurse number one. You will be super nurse number three when we're finished. I took it to heart.
Mm-hmm.
I am what I consider a soldier. That's what I tell people. I'm a soldier.
Mm-hmm.
If something happens, I'm a soldier. I get hurt, whatever, good or bad, I'm a soldier. That's how you get through difficult times. I'm a soldier. So when she told me that I was going to be super nurse number three, roger that. And she told me that I would make a super nurse number four, which I did.
Okay.
And so at the end of those 6 weeks, with her guidance and leadership. And I guess you would suffice it to say, I think based on what I would presume is my reputation in the Nurse Corps and the fact that at every assignment I've had since then, I've either become somebody's auntie or mama. I have lived up to what she instilled in me to be Super Nurse number three. The Army on that first assignment taught me leadership, taught me the ability to think on my feet, make split-second decisions, life or death decisions, because again, I was an oncology nurse. Okay. And you hold life or death in your hands. We also had some outstanding civilian nurses that poured into me as well. Miss Abagas, Open Irene, we were a family on that award. That's what the Army is, mm-hmm. the Army Nurse Corps. And if no one ever told you, at every event in the Army Nurse Corps, we do have cake. That is that is our moniker. Cake is a must. Cake and food, that is our legacy.
And could you say Super Nurse number two's name one more time?
It is Colonel Tamika Bowser. She is now the CNO at Darnell Army Medical Center, Fort Cavazos. She is still in. And when we see each other, everyone that knows me, that knows her, knows that she is SN number two, and they know that I am SN number three.
Let's give a round of applause, a round of applause to Colonel Bowser, SN number two, for everything that she did to teach Colonel Walker, SN number three, everything that she knows about nursing.
Are you looking to pursue a successful healthcare career at one of the largest and most advanced medical facilities in the country? If so, look no further. The U.S. Army is here. Visit goarmy.com/AMED to learn how you can serve soldiers, their families, military retirees, and at times, the general public while providing meaningful service.
If someone is interested in joining the Nurse Corps and becoming a super nurse as well, how long are they required to serve as an Army nurse officer?
I believe the initial contract is, it may be 8 years, but you do 4 years active duty, and then your next 4 years you can go in the reserves. But if they were to send me an email with their name, number, contact information of where they are, mm-hmm. then what I personally do is I send an email to the battalion command group for whatever location they are in. I do the introduction, and I let them know that we have an outstanding potential lead on the line and ask that they connect them with a recruiter to make that connection, and then the recruiter can give them all the detailed information that they need. So that's the role that I play mm-hmm. as the brigade deputy commanding officer, but also as the chief nurse. I'm that liaison to make sure that all potential leads get connected with the right person.
Earlier, you spoke about when you first joined the Army, you came in as a personnel record specialist. In the beginning, what inspired you other than your family members being in the Army to want to join the Army?
So what inspired me was the desire to, I knew that I wasn't ready to go to college mm-hmm. because I was tired of school. I was burnt out. It was 12 years, and my senior year of high school, I really had some difficulties. I felt like I had lost my way due to some personal challenges. And so when my best friend, retired Sergeant First Class Latasha Davis, came and said she wanted to join the reserves and she felt like I needed to go with her, it was basically a answer to a prayer. And so I would advise anyone that if you are at a turning point or at a station in life where you're trying to figure out what to do, the Army is absolutely the right way to go. It can help you figure out what is the right way. It's like a, you know, how sometimes people graduate and they take a gap year. The Army can be your gap year.
Okay.
It teaches you about yourself. It gives you leadership. It gives you discipline. It gives you clarity. It is actually the reason why my son joined. My son, when he graduated high school, he was a football player, and we were waiting for football scholarships to come in. I was stationed at what is Fort Liberty, but then Fort Bragg.
Okay.
And I came home one day, and he said he had went to see a recruiter. He said he was getting tired of waiting for the football scholarships to trickle in, and he was ready to get on with life. He went to see a recruiter, and I supported his decision, and the rest was history. He did 11 years, and now he has transitioned to the reserves.
Okay.
And is starting on the second phase of life, which is fulfilling his lifelong dream of being a police officer.
Okay. Okay, that sounds good. So he's followed in your footsteps, and he's continued trucking along, doing the things that he needs to do out here in the community just to provide and just be a positive human being in society. Now, you joined the Army in the reserves, and you also were enlisted for a period of time before you ended up coming back, and you spoke about it earlier. You had been out of school for 10 years, and now you went back and you attended college. Everybody's experience with college and just education is different. How did you like college, and do you think it has changed since you have attended?
So when I went to college, it was, my experience was a little different because I was older than a lot of the people that I was in class with. Also had two children. Mm-hmm. Also was working full time. So working full-time, going to school full-time with two children and having full-time bills when you have folks sitting in classes 18 to 19 and they mamas and daddies is paying for class and they want a party and you trying to make a 4.0 because when I went to school, I said, I'm graduating with a 4.0. But again, that was the Army that had been instilled in me. I set a goal.
Mm-hmm.
The goal was in front of me. I'm going to get it. I'm a soldier. You're not going to tell me what I'm not going to do. As time went along, I kind of had to adjust my goal a little bit because it's like, whoo, okay, I got these two full-time kids. I got these full-time bills. I got this full-time job because I was a corrections officer. Ooh, I'm taking this nursing program because in case folks don't know, BSN is the hardest degree to get. I'm Army Nurse Corps nurse, which is the best corps, in case I didn't tell y'all that. But, you know, their mindset and what they were going to school for and my mindset and what I was going to school for, they weren't the same. But then I realized I was being judgmental, and I can't judge everybody's walk. I had to focus on my walk, and so I had to focus on my goal. But I also recognize that had I gone to school when I was 18 and 19, I would have been those same people. Mm-hmm. So for me, going to school later on in life was absolutely the best choice because I knew had I gone to school when I was 18, which is what I told my father who wanted me to go to college, I'm going to waste your money. I'm going to waste that government GI Bill or the good government money. I'm going to waste everybody's money if I go to school. And joining the reserves back then, I had the Montgomery GI Bill. So if you join the reserves, Army Reserves, AMED, you can get the GI Bill. But it would have been a waste of money. And fortunately for me, when I did go see the AMED recruiter, I was able to get the student loan repayment.
Okay.
And I told y'all I had those two full-time kids. And even though I had the GI Bill, I still had to take student loans. So when I came in, the student loan repayment, although it didn't pay off all the student loans, it paid off a nice portion of the student loans, which was a huge benefit for me. Mm-hmm. I like to tell people that I came in with single parent debt, single parent student loans. Uh-huh. And so joining the Nurse Corps, coming back active duty, mm-hmm. Significantly changed my life and my children's life. So that is the other reason why I'm a huge advocate for people joining the Army. I will also tell you, before coming into recruiting, I have always been one of those people that say that when people graduate high school, I think it should just be automatic that people come in the military for at least 2 years, mm-hmm. because I think it just gives clarity. It just, the Army or the military in general, what it instills in you, there's nothing like it. You can't get it in a civilian job. And I worked the civilian sector, mm-hmm. before I came back on active duty because I was delayed entry. And interestingly enough, the jobs that I've had active duty as an Army nurse, I have far outpaced and am far more advanced than my civilian counterparts. The nurses that precepted me as a civilian, mm-hmm. nurse, it was interesting. I came home and my mother was in the hospital, and she just happened to be in the hospital on a ward that I worked on at U of L Hospital. I was there for 3 months.
Okay.
And when I came back, the same nurse that precepted me for like the 3 months that I was there, she was excited that, you know, she was now charge nurse for 3 days a week, which is huge because you get paid extra for the 3 days a week. Mm-hmm. And by then, I had been a nurse for 4 years. And so she was like, oh, you look good. What are you? You know, I asked her how she was doing and what she's doing. She told me, oh, I'm charge nurse now 3 days a week, and was catching me up on everybody else. And so she said, so what are you doing now? And so I said, oh, well, you know, I've deployed to Iraq, and I'm back. And I said, I'm now the, we call them CNOICs, but it's the officer in charge of a ambulatory care center. And she looked. And I was like, it's the equivalent of a charge nurse. I said, but I have 5 clinics under me. I have 80 staff members under me. Mm-hmm. So at the 4-year mark of being a nurse, I had 80 staff members under me that I was evaluating. I had 4 clinics under me. She had been a nurse for 13 years, and she was charge nursing 3 days a week.
Oh, wow.
The Army Nurse Corps.
The Army Nurse Corps. Now, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk to Colonel Walker about the Army Nurse Corps, HPSP, and student loan repayment. So, you guys, make sure you continue to listen. We'll be right back.
Since 1775, Army chaplains have acted as spiritual counselors who support, motivate, and provide emotional guidance to soldiers and their families. We are looking for chaplains to care for spiritual, moral, and emotional well-being of the Army. Follow your calling as an Army chaplain. Visit goarmy.com/chaplain for more information or to speak with one of our virtual recruiters today.
And you guys, welcome back to the AMED Effect. Like I said, this is episode 4, and we're here with Colonel Walker, and we're talking about all sorts of things, getting to know about her history and career as an Army nurse and as the deputy commanding officer here at the brigade in Fort Knox, Kentucky, for the medical recruiting brigade. Now, you talked about student loan repayment, going back to college and attending school. One of the big focuses in medical recruiting is the Health Profession Scholarship Program. That program was started in 1972, and it provides educational financial assistance in exchange for military service. Was this something that you knew about when you were going to go, when you attended Sparta University, or were you not able to take advantage of that program?
So when I went to school, I knew nothing about AMED. Mm-hmm. I was enlisted personnel, mm-hmm. No medical background, no anything. And I found out about the AMED again because I was led to an ROTC guy. Okay. And the ROTC guy, when he found out that I was in nursing, he steered me to an AMED recruiter because he said, I can't do anything for you. Not sure if he couldn't, mm-hmm. but I think it was the higher power leading me to my destiny. The AMED recruiter then put my packet together. So I am direct commission.
Okay.
No HP, SP, any of that. Had I known then, I never wanted to be a doctor, but now being in recruiting, I think the medical corps, HP, SP, dental corps, HP, SP, I think they are absolute wonderful programs. Every time I meet someone, I tell them, did you know we pay for medical school? Did you know we pay for dental school? So I think they're absolute wonderful programs. As far as the nursing part, the fact that we pay for people to go get their CRNAs. And when I was in nursing school, I did have classmates that wanted to be CRNAs. And knowing how much that cost, and I was like, that's not my ministry because that costs too much money. And again, I was a single parent. Mm-hmm. But knowing that that's something that we pay for, if that was something that I wanted to do, having that information would have been beneficial for me. And so, but I was direct commission. So I did student loans the entire time. But when I went to see the AMED recruiter, he told me about the student loan repayment, that mm-hmm. that was something I was eligible for, which was all the more incentive for me to say, sign me up.
sign me right on up. And for those who may not know, if you guys are interested or you want to find out more information about the Health Profession Scholarship Program, you can always visit goarmy.com/HPSP. You can find all the information there. Once you get on the website, you are also able to speak to a digital recruiter. So just fill out the information, fill out the digital contact card, and you can gain some more information about that as well. In June of 2000, you commissioned into the Army Nurse Corps.
Yes.
How did the day-to-day life differ from being in the reserve to coming in and being commissioning into the Nurse Corps?
So every job that I've had as a nurse has differed. So my first assignment, I was a staff nurse on the oncology ward, staff nurse, then transitioned to the assistant head nurse. So with different jobs come different responsibilities. My second job, I was at Redstone Arsenal. I was only there for about 3 months before I PCS'd. Mm-hmm. To Iraq, Embassina Hospital, with the 28th Combat Support Hospital in support of the war, which actually this year is my 20th anniversary from the deployment. And I consider that, one of my best assignments, interestingly enough, because, you know, being in a deployed environment, you learn a lot about yourself. And the leadership that we had for me was a defining moment, because even though we were in that deployed war environment, it was their absolute mission to mm-hmm. not only take care of the injured soldiers, but also take care of us. I came back from the deployment and went back to Redstone Arsenal Fox Army Health Clinic and went into a leadership role. And I came back and went into a leadership role because on the deployment, I emailed back and said, I'm the assistant head nurse in this deployed environment. I promoted into captain. Am I coming back into a leadership environment or into a leadership role? And the DCCS said, okay. And that's how I came back, taking over the clinics. Post that assignment, I went to Fort Meade Kimbrough Ambulatory Care Center and was the head nurse of a primary care clinic. One of my best friends deployed during that assignment, so I ended up as the head nurse of two primary care clinics at the same time. Because in the Army, you know, when people deploy, you have to cover down. Mm-hmm. So as a captain, I covered down on two clinics because the Army teaches you flexible, transformational leadership, so I covered down. After that assignment, I transitioned out of the clinical realm and went into what we call a non-medical assignment, and I became a clinical operation officer for the First Army Div East. So that was also on Fort Meade, but I became responsible for medical readiness. Mm-hmm. And I did that for 2 years, which gave me a more operational look at the Army and how we take care of our soldiers, get them ready for deployments, mm-hmm. But also gave me a step away moment from the bedside or the clinical side, if you want to look at it that way. And that was probably like the first 10 years of my assignment, and had primarily been on the East Coast. After First Army Div East, I PCS to what they call the center of the universe, Fort Bragg, North Carolina, and went to the 28th Combat Support Hospital, but I also had assignment at WOMAC, uh-huh. Army Health Center. And over the course of those 3 years, I held three different assignments. So primarily, I was assigned to the 28th CASH, which is what's considered a field hospital or FORSCOM hospital. Mm-hmm. But my first year at WOMAC, I was in performance improvement, which gives you a operational look at the hospital. How can you improve processes?
Okay.
And then my second year, again, I was the CNOIC, clinical nurse officer in charge of an inpatient ward. So that was the first time I had been in that role because most of my officer in charge roles had been ambulatory care. Okay. So I'd had the outpatient experience, and then this was my opportunity to have a look at it from an inpatient side. But I also did that because I was preparing to deploy again. And so from that role, I deployed to Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. And when I went to Afghanistan, I had my first chief nurse role, and I deployed to FOB Salerno in Afghanistan.
Okay.
And then when I came back from there, I went back to WOMAC, and I was in infection control. So again, as a 66 hotel med-surg nurse, I've had a broad experience, touched a lot of avenues. And in the inpatient setting, I've been able to see a lot of different realms. Mm-hmm. Left the center of the universe and went to what is the new Walter Reed National Medical Center in D.C. Mm-hmm. and was able to venture into now hospital education staff development. So I've seen ambulatory, I've seen inpatient, I've seen performance improvement, I've seen joint commission, and now I was going into staff development, hospital education, so a wide variety of experience in what I would say at that point was the first 15 years of my career up to that point.
Put in a lot of work, did a lot of different things. Congratulations for all of the knowledge that you have and all of the knowledge that you're continue to spread out to the soldiers who are coming up the ranks as well. Just to throw in a tidbit of information, I was born, you spoke about all the different hospitals. I grew up a military brat, so I was actually born at Martin Army Hospital.
Really?
Down at Fort Benning, which is what, Fort Moore now?
Yes.
Yeah. So my parents, they actually are back down there at Fort Moore. So just wanted to throw that in there. You spoke about all the different hospitals, and it reminded me of Martin Army Hospital.
I thought you was going to try to say you was born while I was doing one of them travels, trying to call me old or something.
Oh, no. No, never that. So the Army Nurse Corps was established by Congress in 1901. And when World War II started, 59,000 nurses served in the Army Nurse Corps. Now, you spoke about your deployment and being deployed, and you went over to Iraq. Mm-hmm. Tell us about the importance of having nurses to provide medical care to soldiers in the field during times of conflict. How has the Nurse Corps grown over the years?
So nurses and doctors are a tag team. We absolutely need our doctors. But nurses fill the gap. Nurses sit at the bedside. Mm-hmm. Nurses are the ones that hold the patient's hands. Nurses are the ones that wipe the tears. Nurses are the ones that fill the role, male or female, as the mother. They can be the father when you're crying. That's the role that we feel. At 2 o'clock in the morning, it is the nurse that is there. At 2 o'clock in the afternoon, it is the nurse that is there. Oncology, ICU, med-surg, pediatrics, whatever the specialty it is, 24 hours a day. Even if you want to say, because they say 24/7, but it's really 25/8.
25/8.
365 days a year. It is the Army nurse that is there. And again, we absolutely, hands down, need our doctors. But the doctor can do nothing without the nurse because of the role that we feel. When the blood pressure is one number off, we notice. When the patient, by a look on their face, we notice. If they move a certain way, we notice. By touching their hand, mm-hmm. we notice. When we just look at them, or even up here at the brigade, if someone is doing something and I look at them, it's instinctively, it's a sense we notice. Mm-hmm. Can put my forehand on their head. It is the nurse that notices that is something that's not right. We feel instinctively, internally, from a heart-to-heart perspective, something's not right. I need to call the doctor. It is the 10 millimeters that's off in the output. That's not right. They normally eat all of their Jell-O, and he didn't eat his Jell-O. He normally eats all of his eggs, and he didn't eat his eggs. He talks to his wife every day, or she calls her husband every day. Something's not right. Mm-hmm. They laugh at this joke. When you've been with a patient for 2 days or 3 days, you pick up their habits. You pick up their emotions. You pick up everything. You get to know your patient's habits, their movements. You become one with your patient as a nurse, because nursing is a calling. No one becomes a nurse by circumstance, because remember at the beginning I told you I asked God, am I supposed to be a social worker? Am I supposed to be a nurse? Because becoming a nurse is a calling. Mm-hmm. Nobody becomes a nurse for the money, because they don't pay us a nurse enough. It's like being a teacher.
Right.
They don't pay our teachers enough, mm-hmm. but they also don't pay our nurses enough, because it is a calling. And again, we need our doctors, but nursing is 25/8, 365. And the least little thing that's off, the nurses know, and we call the doctor and we tell them, something's not right with Miss Sally, something's not right with Mr. John. Trust me, it is a nurse that absolutely changes the world.
While we're talking about the Army Nurse Corps, on February 5th, the U.S. Army celebrated the 123rd birthday of the Army Nurse Corps.
We look good, too, don't we?
Yes, yes, yes. Give a round of applause for that to all of the nurses and everything that they do. Now, this year, the theme of this year's birthday was serving with distinction and healing with compassion. So I just want to say, like I just said earlier, just everybody give a round of applause for the nurses and everything that they do, all of the hard work and dedication. As you can see, Colonel Walker is just picking up. She's able to come in and just pick up on all different types of things. So if she can do it as nurse number 3, I know nurse number 4, 5, 6, and so on and so forth
are
able to do it too.
I've made a couple super nurses number 4. I was instructed to do it, and that's what I did.
That's good. That's good. Thank you for that and providing us with more professional nurses out here. And you've been doing it for 40 years. So that's good. That's really good. The Nurse Corps provides care for military personnel, their families, and military retirees all over the world. Mm-hmm. Talk about the 5 different specialties that the Army nurses can choose from.
So you can be a med-surg nurse, 66 hotel. You can be a 66 golf, OBGYN, help bring the babies into the world. You can be a 66F, which is a CRNA, so put the people to sleep and bring them back. You can be a 66 Sierra, which is an ICU nurse, which is you, when they come out of surgery, or the really, I call them the folks that's really, really sick. One of my best friends is an ICU nurse. I call those people, them patients that you really got to like nursing because they can't talk to you. And I need for my patients to tell me what's wrong. And 66 Tango ER nurses, those to me are those adrenaline junkies. They you come in, let's get it. Ooh, they hurt. Let me figure out what's wrong and let's send them on their way. So, yes, I think I covered them all. Oh, and then it's the 66 Echoes, those OR nurses. You absolutely got to like the sight of blood. If you can't tell, I don't like the sight of blood either. No. I ask myself every day, how did you get to be a nurse if you don't like the sight of blood? I don't know, but hey, we got room for everybody. We also do take care of in our hospitals. We do have pediatric floors, so we don't have the specialty. But if you like babies, we're going to help you take care of babies too. So whatever it is that you want to do in nursing, trust me, the Army Nurse Corps is going to help you fulfill whatever it is your heart's desire. You see, I started looking at the camera when I was talking to you because we absolutely got a place for you in the Army Nurse Corps. 25, 8, 365 days of the year. I'll be here waiting for you. I'll even come to your graduation.
That's funny you said that. My daughter, she's a junior in high school.
You want me to come talk to her?
She actually wants to be a pediatric surgeon. So
does she know about the medical corps?
I talk to her about it all the time.
Give me her phone number so I can call her and talk.
I talk to her about it.
Go get her.
Talk to her about it all the time. So she's in she is in the academy. So when she graduates from high school, she will be. She'll have her associate's degree, and so then she'll move along. But she has to stay in the state of Kentucky to get her undergrad, and then from there she can move on from there. So I always talk to her about the AMED program, just to see, hey, this is opportunity because you're gonna be in dad's pocket. I'm still paying for I'm still paying back for my college. So.
Yeah.
So I get it. So I do talk to her about that all the time. When someone becomes an officer in the U.S. Army, they assume more duties that come in a leadership role. Speaking on leadership, you earned your Master's of Arts in Management and Leadership from Webster University. Mm-hmm. At what point in your career did you find it important to further your education in a more leadership direction?
So, in order to... You know, we have markers in the military. They have what's called a life cycle that tells you at different stages where from a military education standpoint and from a civilian education standpoint, where you need to be from a military market standpoint. Mm-hmm. And so to get promoted to lieutenant colonel on the marker is that's where you need to have earned your master's degree. So I got my master's prior to getting promoted to lieutenant colonel. But all along the way, based on the various jobs, when you are moving and learning and being groomed, each job prepares you for the next job. Also in the military, we have long-term health education where the Army will assist you and pay for you to go to school to get your master's degree.
Okay.
Based on where I was in my career and the fact that I was getting ready to deploy, I did not go that route. I did tuition assistance. Mm-hmm. So you can do long-term health education where you just go to school, or you can do tuition assistance where the Army will help pay for you to get your degree.
Now, also, as a leader in the Army, you take a lot of different courses. One of those courses is the AMED Basic Officer Leadership Leader course. Are there any other leadership courses that you have taken that helped you in your career?
Oh, Lord. So Basic Officer Leadership course, that's the initial course that you take when you first come in. And then at the next phase, according to the life cycle, there's the Advanced Leadership course. So life cycle, when you get around captain. As a Army nurse, we had the head nurse course. We've had the we have the charge nurse course. We have the nurse preceptor course. As you advance, depending on your jobs, when you hit the strategic realm, I've also had the opportunity to attend the AMED executive skills course because I've served in the deputy commander of nursing role.
Okay.
I've also attended the joint executive skills course because I've served in a joint environment as well. I've attended some other courses based on the different positions I've held. I'm also a certified sexual assault and prevention coordinator or response person. So I've attended those courses as well.
Okay.
So being in the military, whatever avenue of training that you want, the Army has all of those resources for you to learn from if that's what you want.
Would you say that one of those courses were more beneficial, or would you put them all on the same playing field as being able to teach you something that you can provide later on?
At every stage of growth, every stage is beneficial. So coming in, BOLIC, Basic Officer Leadership course, is absolutely the first stage. As you grow, then each course that you go to, it's like building a house. Mm-hmm. BOLIC is your foundation. And then each course you go to after that, it becomes your walls of your house and then, you know, your doors and then your roof. And then by the time you get to the point that I am, which is a colonel, hopefully your house is put together.
Now, any other roles or any other things that you have done in leadership that you may not have had the opportunity to do if you were in a civilian field?
I think being in the I've explained to you that on the civilian side, having gone back and re-encountered my preceptors mm-hmm. on the civilian side, from what I gather, from what I've seen, witnessed, and talked to folks on the civilian side of the house, being in nursing, when you get in those positions, you're kind of stagnant. You stay stuck. You go to work every day, and we absolutely need our civilian nurses on the outside. And you kind of wait for those people that you work with to transition out. And it's funny because the supervisor over the ward that I work for when I told her that I was leaving to come on active duty, she mentioned that when she was slightly younger, she had the opportunity to come into the military, and her brother, I guess, had been in. And she regrets not coming in the military. She wishes she would have done it. She was the supervisor. The two people that were charge nurses, they were waiting for her to retire so they could get her position.
Right.
So they were charge nurses, but she was what would be considered the officer in charge.
Uh-huh.
I've already been the officer in charge of an ambulatory care center three times. I've already been the officer in charge of an inpatient setting once. So Colonel Walters is the brigade commander, which I guess you could attribute it or compare it to like a CEO. And I'm her second in command. So we are the civilian equivalent almost of like a hospital. So the stuff that they are doing on the civilian sector, if you're a civilian nurse in the Army, you will have done that 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times compared to being a civilian nurse. And we need them, but they go to their civilian positions, and that's where they stay the duration. One of the civilian nurses that I worked with, she had been in that position as a civilian nurse for 50 years, working as a nurse. And she wasn't even a charge nurse, 50 years. I've been a nurse since 2001. And the positions that I've had far exceed that, because every 3 years, I PCS into a higher position. My leadership opportunities, they advance on the next one, because each evaluation I get says challenging, more challenging positions. They stay in those same positions until that person transitions out. But that person isn't going to transition out until they retire. Mm-hmm. When we retire at the end of our career at 30 years. And they retire at the end of their careers. But by the time we retire, our resume, it can't be touched.
It's extensive.
Extensive. The Army Nurse Corps.
More with Colonel Walker after this commercial break. You all, this portion of the podcast is sponsored by the Health Profession Scholarship Program.
Launch your medical career with zero to little debt with the Army's Health Professions Scholarship Program. HPSP is one of the most comprehensive scholarships available in the healthcare field. The Health Professions Scholarship could be great for those pursuing a career in one of these fields: medical, including osteopathy, dental, veterinary, nursing, counseling and clinical psychology, and optometry. For more information, visit goarmy.com/HPSP.
Welcome back. More with the AMED Effect with me and Miss Colonel Walker. Working within the recruiting field of the Army, I'm sure sometimes, well, I'm not sure, but let me ask you, have you had the opportunity to go to colleges and universities or any type of speaking engagements where you are able to answer questions from students?
I've done a few recruiting events, but since I've been in this position, I started making videos on my military journey career that are posted to our website. The specific reason why I started those videos is because when I looked at advertising and stuff for AMED, for the Army Nurse Corps, I felt like I didn't see anybody that looked like me.
Uh-huh.
And I think the Army is a good thing. I think the Army Nurse Corps is a better thing. And I think they absolutely need people that look like me. And so that's why I started my videos, to get people to come in that look like me.
Now, I'm sure you've probably been asked this question. And if you haven't been asked this question, let me ask you first. Why should someone join the Army Nurse Corps as a nurse?
Because it can change your life.
Mm-hmm.
I was already in the military, familiar with the military. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that it's been all rainbows and unicorns, because it hasn't. Mm-hmm. I have had the opportunity to get out, but I haven't, because being in the military has absolutely changed my life, but not only changed my life, but changed the life of my children. And again, you remember I also explained that the things that it taught me about myself. And so if you are at a crossroad, be it 18, 22, or even 30, because when I went to school, back to school, I was in my 30s, a single parent, knowing that I needed to do something different for the life that I wanted to live. It was a lifeline. And so that's why I think someone should join.
Recently, the media has been reporting that the United States is struggling with meeting recruiting missions.
Mm-hmm.
What would be one thing that you would share with someone contemplating joining the Army as a healthcare professional?
The opportunities that you're going to get in the Army for advancement, growth, experience, in the Army, AMED, be it as a doctor or specifically an Army nurse, the civilian side of it, they're not going to be able to match.
Mm-hmm.
I just explained, I've been in leadership in an ambulatory care setting within 4 years. I've been in leadership in an inpatient setting. I understand the nuances of Joint Commission, performance improvement, hospital education and training, staff development, force comm. Now I'm in recruiting. If for those that don't understand the Army side of the house, there's like a bunch of different patches, but I've been MedCom, which is the medical department. I've been TRADOC, which is the training department. I've been ForceCom, which is the Army. I've been recruiting. So that's, what, four or five aspects of the Army as a whole. And so all of that in one big family, whereas on the civilian side, you get a job, and that's just your job. In the Army, you get a job, but it's an experience. The people you meet, your children make friends that become friends for life. My son's best friend, he met at my first assignment in 2001. And when he met, I call him John John, they were in elementary school. John John is now my godson. He already had him. But so we're talking 20-year friendships. My two friends that I met at my first assignment pretty much were at every promotion that I've had from I came in as when I got commissioned a second lieutenant.
Mm-hmm.
That, again, there's nothing wrong with being a civilian, but if we are a nation, ultimately, we are the 1%. And in the Army Medical Department, then we are the 1% that takes care of the 99%. There's something to be said about being part of a special select group of people. The set-asides.
Mm-hmm.
You have to ask yourself, do you want to be ordinary? And there's nothing wrong with being ordinary. Or do you want to be special. Do you want to be set aside?
I want to be set aside. Extraordinary.
I want to be set aside. Extraordinary.
Now, earlier you spoke about you started doing different videos, and the reason being is that you wanted to show people who, you wanted to showcase people who look like you.
Yes.
Now, it's February, and every year during the month of February, we recognize the contributions that Black Americans have made to the U.S. Army, medicine, and ministry. Trailblazers such as Dr. Charles R. Drew and Dr. Vivian Thomas have done amazing things within healthcare. Are there any other medical professionals, maybe not, who has done something as extensive as those individuals that I have just mentioned, but other individuals who you may know who have done some things that you would like to recognize?
So I admire Lieutenant General Nadia West, who was the first female, African-American female surgeon general, just an amazing leader. Had the opportunity to meet her multiple times. She sat on, when I was at the new Walter Reed, I was the senior advisor for the Junior Officer Council. We had a leadership panel. She sat on our leadership panel, inspiring. Officer, doctor, mentorship was her her core. I've also had the opportunity to meet Brigadier General Claire Adams Ender, first African American and first female to earn the EFM B badge. Still living, Army nurse. When you sit at her feet and hear her talk, the wisdom and the knowledge and the grace that she has is just, it is absolutely amazing. A lot of the general officers call her General Claire, so you would absolutely need to meet her. Two outstanding leaders and two first. So there's something to be said about being the first and to be women and to be African Americans, because to be the first to walk a journey that you're not supposed to walk, and then you have to take the targets that come with it. And she was one of the chiefs of the Nurse Corps, because we've only had three African American Nurse Corps chiefs for the Army Nurse Corps as well. Someone else that I look up to and consider a mentor, and he just retired, Lieutenant General R. Scott Dingell. He was the second commander for MRB. He was the first 70 hotel to be Surgeon General. Man of God as well. All in inspiring. So those are the people that are known that I look up to. But then someone that, you know, I look up to that is not known. I've had three Army mothers in my career, because if you're going to succeed in the Army, you've got to have mentors yourself. So I know people call me a mentor, but in order to be a mentor, you've got to have mentors. Mm-hmm. You've got to have people that feed into you in order for you to feed into people. And so one of my first mentors was Lieutenant Colonel Janice Carver. When I was at the original Walter Reed, she saw me, I guess, before I was really able to see myself. And I, when they started OERs, I was a second lieutenant, and I was starting to learn about OERs, and I was worried about who my senior rater was going to be. I was working night shift because I was instructed to go work night shift to learn my craft. And she would check on me, feed into me, and she told me I would be all right. And until this day, me and Colonel Carver, who, again, I met in 2001, still stay in contact, my first Army mama. And she has really continued to pour into me, even with the recent passing of my mother. My second Army mother was Lieutenant Colonel Edith Brown. at Kimbrough, I met her. And when she wasn't going to be there, and she was the department chief, and I would want to back brief her, she's like, oh, you got it. I'm a captain. She's a lieutenant colonel. I'm not worried about it. You've got it. And then my third Army mother, Colonel Angela Simmons, had heard about her before I worked for her.
Mm-hmm.
And she came into my life at a time when I needed professional restoration. That's personal restoration, but then that's professional restoration. And she completed the restoration and to this day. And she, you know, and I said, a nurse, we instinctively know when something's off. And even though we are not in the same building together, she instinctively, that nurse motherism, that mentorship, mm-hmm. And there's something special about mentorship, because you know you are a mentor when the mentorship transforms into familyship. She instinctively knows if something's off, because I will get a text message. And some of my mentees, like, I can call them, and I have one, she will say, ma'am, I knew. She was like, God knew I needed you. She's like, because you just know when to call. And that's what Colonel Simmons does. So in order to be an effective mentor, which is what people say I am, you have to have effective mentorship. You have to have people feeding into you in order for you to feed into people. That's the Army Nurse Corps.
Okay, understanding, definitely understanding. And thankful for, I know you're thankful for all of your mentors.
Absolutely.
And I'm pretty sure all your mentees are thankful for having you as well. So
depends on what we're mentoring about.
Now, just a couple more questions before we get out of here. Military soldiers and their families are stationed at various bases throughout the United States and overseas.
Mm-hmm.
Out of all of the bases and places that you have been stationed, mm-hmm. which would you say you have liked the most?
So if you look at the video of my promotion ceremony, I said that I have three favorite assignments. So I likened it to building a house. So I can't give a favorite. Mm-hmm. But what I will say is, coming into this assignment, from the time I did the interview for this job, and now in the way the Army works, you have to do interviews for the job. This was the only interview that I did, because, again, Higher Universe, when they did the interview, they asked me, and I said this was the only job that, when my friends and family asked me out of all the jobs, what job did I want, I told them to pray for this job. So coming into this job, I knew it was something about this job. And at my promotion ceremony, I said that I knew that this was going to be in the top three of my favorite assignments. And I'm going into my second year, and it remains in the top three of my favorite assignments. And so even though we are having our recruiting challenges, it still remains in the top three of my favorite assignments.
So Fort, being here at Fort Knox, one of those top three.
And it has nothing to do with being the proximity of being close to home.
Mm-hmm.
It has to do with the assignment, the environment, the people that I get to work with on a day-to-day basis, the leadership, the just everything. I could not, and I'm retiring out of this job, I could not have asked for a better last assignment.
Okay. Now here, I believe maybe once a month or maybe every other month, you all will do a luncheon, where like a family style luncheon where everybody comes out.
Oh, we do that every month.
You do it every month?
It's family luncheon.
It's family luncheon.
It's a family. So yes, family luncheon. We celebrate each other. So if someone is new to the team, we welcome them to the team. If someone is leaving, we farewell them. We celebrate birthdays. We recognize years of service. It's just a celebration. And if nobody's leaving, nobody's got any celebrations or whatever, we just having a family luncheon where everyone just comes together and you just eat. I'm a nurse. I tell you, you got to have a cake.
Is there any way you can get Christy and myself on the email thread for that?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. You all are absolutely invited to family luncheon. And if you out there in podcast land and you are in the Fort Knox area and you are interested in being an Army nurse, call me and I will invite you to the next family luncheon so I can too show you what it's like to be an Army nurse, and we feed you.
One last thing before we get out of here. If there was a piece of advice that you could give to a medical student or just anybody who is looking at coming into the military or looking at a career in the AMED department, what would that advice be?
It would be, I'm going to combine two slogans. One is Nike, just do it. And the other one is the greatest slogan ever created, be all that you can be.
And there we have it. Colonel Walker, thank you for coming in, sitting down and taking your time out of your day to talk with us on the AMED Effect. It's been good hearing about your career, everything that you have done, and all of the many different things that you have done to inspire other individuals to walk down that same path as you and other individuals as well. You guys, this is the AMED Effect. This is episode 4, and we're talking about AMED nursing. Make sure that you guys go back, you listen to episode 1, 2, and 3, and be on the lookout for episode 4. We'll be providing you all with some more content, some more guests. So make sure you guys just stay tuned in to everything that we have going on. Thank you. This is Will, and this is the AMED Effect.
Bye.
The causes and effects of Army medical opportunities are endless. When you join the U.S. Army Medical Department, not only will you get more out of your medical career, but you will also provide meaningful service to soldiers, their families, military retirees, and last but not least, your country. To learn more about AMED, visit goarmy.com/AMED. That's goarmy.com/AMED. And if you're looking for information on tuition assistance, visit goarmy.com/HPSP. That's goarmy.com/HPSP.